It's time for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today over the telephone, I have Representative Christine Watkins, and sounds like she's getting ready to get some business done up there on the Hill. As she said, she's talking to us directly from the House floor this morning. Representative Watkins, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's get right into it, because there's a lot of things that are going to go on in the next few days up there that really pertain to us down here in Carbon County, aren't there?
Yes. Yes, there are.
So let's get into all of them.
Okay, the first one is House Bill 116. This is my bill, Commercial Property Assessment Clean Energy Act Amendment. So that's quite a mouthful, but it's passed through committee. It's on the House board, and which means the whole House will be voting on it. We may get that done today. We've got a lot of circled bills ahead of me. So depending on how many reps uncircle their bills, it definitely will be voted on today or tomorrow. And what this does, it helps developers of biofuel projects throughout the state of Utah to finance their projects by providing access to this private capital. And it's called CPACE, which is what I just said, Commercial Property Assessed Clean Energy. And so by opening this up, it allows commercial properties to access funding. And once they get this loan, it's treated by the bank just like any other loan. And so CPACE loans are granted a favorable status in terms of their position in case of a default and essentially being placed in a similar position to a tax lien. So this is attractive to lenders and to interest rates and other things that the companies can do. And if we can get this passed, which it doesn't look like it passed unanimously in committee, it will be the last hurdle that our Wellington Microtech refinery will have to deal with, and hopefully they'll be breaking ground this year.
And that's one thing that will, as we said, most of these that we're talking about this morning all really have to do with us right here in our area and are going to benefit us in some way or another. And yeah, I know Wellington Microtech's been working towards getting this rolling like a couple of years at least, haven't they?
Yeah, about 2015 is when they started.
Yeah.
So it's been a long haul for them, but I think we're definitely seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
All right. And then another one that we wanted to talk about is some information coming about the San Rafael Research Center and maybe a new name?
Yes. It's called the San Rafael State Energy Lab Bill. It's my bill. And what it does is it establishes the San Rafael Energy Center. It creates the State Energy Lab. And it creates the membership and the duties of a board. And it outlines the purpose and the duties of the center. And in that board, it says who's going to be what in that board. There's going to be 9 members. It also allocates money to buy the lab from the county, and it allocates an ongoing appropriation for this lab to function. They're going to be looking at all sorts of different types of energy. They'll have this business park right there by them, and one of the roles of a director is to entice and get companies to come in and work there. So another great opportunity for this to really grow and create jobs and be an economic driver.
And so we'll keep an eye on that one. And then going kind of hand in hand with that energy center, let's talk about the one that's coming up as far as if, say, the federal government comes in and says, okay, we're putting the wraps on coal-powered this, that, and the other. And what would have to happen eventually is the state would end up suing the government. Is that how that works? But you're looking to change that.
Yes, we are. You cannot believe how many lawsuits we have against the federal government as the state of Utah. And they're very expensive. And we've just finally, this Senator Sandel said, you know what, we got to stop this. So this is his bill. And what it does is it creates a process. This isn't, we're drawing a line in the sand, end of conversation kind of bill. This is a process. So if someone were to come in, the federal government, to Carbon and Emery, and say, we want to impose this rule on you, and it's a rule that we just can't do. And if we can't do it, it's going to be a real problem for us with our economies. So what you will do is I would go to and request, and we could even have a special session about it, or request a resolution. And so we would write this resolution to prohibit the enforcement of this federal directive, and because we say it violates the principles of our state sovereignty, and then we would, if that passes, then we throw it back to them, and then they have to sue us, because we're saying we're not going to do it, and you can't impose this on it, because we are a state, and we have our sovereignty, and so if you want to continue to go down this route, then you have to sue us. And a great example is our power plants. They're imposing restrictions on what can be emitted from them to the point that we really can't do it, and it's terribly expensive. Sometimes the ability to do it is limited by, we don't know how to do it. And I think this is a great idea because it is a process. And so every county can initiate this with their senator or their representative if something like this comes down. So I've read the bill. I think it's a great one. And we will be hearing it in my Natural Resources Committee today.
All right. And then before we get out of here, we got about a couple more minutes. You wanted to spend some time and talk about a story that kind of came out over the weekend, just kind of hitting really social media. But it's about a lady that's from here and some of the issues that she's had with an ex-husband and what's going on there.
We all received this email, and I can't even tell you for sure when we all received it, but it was requesting that we run legislation to increase the penalties if you if there's sexual violence or rape against someone who's disabled. And people don't understand, we start filing bills in May, and so when it hit, we really didn't have time to react to it. And her name is Paula Vigil. She told me, she called me, and she said she had like 25 people tell her to call me. And so we talked about it, and I said, you know, there's nothing I can do about it right now. It takes a process to create a bill and do the research. And besides that, her ex-husband is now in jail. And I talked to the prosecuting attorney, and he pleaded guilty to 6 of 7 charges. And he will be sentenced, I think it's in April, and he can get a light sentence of 11 years, or he could go up to life. Now, the only reason they knew he did this, he helped his wife put up cameras in this handicapped daughter's room because she's so handicapped. She has a condition called Rett syndrome. She can't walk. She can't talk. They have to feed her. She's in diapers. She's 31 years old, but in every way, physically delayed, et cetera, and she has seizures. So they wanted to monitor the seizures. They put up the cameras, and then they caught him in the act of doing this. So he couldn't even deny it. And so she's angry. She's angry that the law doesn't give more penalties for this situation. So I promised her if I get reelected, I will take care of this. And so I've got the attorneys, not only the drafting attorneys here, but the prosecuting attorney that can help give me the advice on exactly the wording and what we would need to do. But it's just kind of interesting that we don't have that in law, but it sometimes takes a sad case like this to bring this to our attention. So I just want everyone to know, because I've had lots of people sending me information about it, and then she finally called me. So we're ready to go. I'll file a bill, and we'll know in June. And if I'm reelected, then I'll be able to go. If not, maybe someone else could take that up for her.
All right. So that's a lot of information in a short period of time. Representative Watkins, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us this morning. We really do appreciate it. And now I'm going to let you get back to work.
All right. We've got all our Association of Counties up here today, so I've been meeting all the county officials, and it's great. So you're in good hands.
We try to be, and it seems that way. Thank you so much once again, and we'll be talking to you again later.
All right. Thank you.
For more information on interviews like this one, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.